All right, Wednesday evening, 5/18/22. The title is You Must Lose to Gain. In the kingdom of God, you must lose to gain. I'm going to explain that. When you give, at first you will suffer loss, but only for a time. This is seed time and harvest. This is the way that God's kingdom operates. And we're going to look in Scripture, Genesis chapter 1. Starting with verse 8. You know what? I think it's 8. Wait a minute. Hold on here. It's chapter 2, not 1. Been a little busy this week. All right. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Bedlam and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is in that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That it is which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. I've got to get a drink. Excuse me. All right. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, except for one tree, the tree of good knowledge, of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So, we know what happened. They ate of the tree. Here God had set the kingdom of God, and it had gold, it had even had a water sprinkling system that come up from the water under and watered. All he had to do was tend it. They had no thought of any need or any want. They don't live like we've had to live. It was perfect. All right. Think about that, to never have to think about a lack, a need, a want, ever again. This is what God, and God put them in a garden. All right, let's keep going here. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So he enticed her, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now think about this. They had no concept of a need or a want or a desire or anything. But Satan made her lust. She lusted. Here she lives in a perfect world, doesn't need anything, doesn't lack anything. And the devil talked her into going against God, committing treason. All right. Lust entered the garden and changed everything. Yeah. Didn't take long before the world was at the place of extinction because of lust, you know, after the days of Noah. Well, in the days of Noah, this is 8:22, after the flood, God established the law. See, he placed man in the garden. So you could say our life is a garden. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, in cold and heat, in summer and winter, in day and night shall not cease. So your life is seed time and harvest, not just in finances, but in every aspect. All right. Many believers do not understand this principle. It isn't just in finances, but in everything we do. Now, she didn't need anything. She didn't lack anything. So what caused her to lust? Well, it's the difference between walking in the kingdom of God or walking in the kingdom of darkness, because when you look around you today, what is the biggest problem? The love of money is the root of all evil, and it's caused all these problems here. And the devil convinced Eve that she didn't have enough, and she had everything. Didn't lack for anything. But he convinced her, oh yeah, God's held out on you. Okay, let's keep going. You know, you lose when you decide to go God's way for a time. That means you have to make a decision. You have to make a sacrifice. I'm going to part with that money. I'm going to suck down me wanting to tell you off because of what you did to me and deciding to walk in love instead. To be a person of integrity when everybody else is doing wrong. It seems you lose, maybe in the natural world you lose, but looking ahead you win, you gain. Okay, that's what we're going to look at. When we do believe, God provides for us because we do it His way, the kingdom way. See, God had it all set up for her, all set up for Him. Okay, we're going to look at a few other scriptures here. Luke chapter 18. This thing is dang, what did I do? This is starting with verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. What was the guy doing here? I mean, what was Jesus doing here with this guy? He said, he was offering him greater riches than he had. But he couldn't mentally get past that. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." Looks like they've lost, doesn't it? It looks like, you know, sometimes I get to thinking about the years that the Lord's pulled us aside and how it seems like we've been in isolation. It seems like the world is passing us by. Everybody's going out there and enjoying themselves, and here we sit. It appears we're losing, doesn't it? No, we're not losing. We're going to gain. We're going to gain because we've done it His way. Right here. And Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." So Jesus is saying, it might appear that you've given up things, you've lost. You've lost things. You've lost friends. You've lost relationships. You're not in the circle anymore. But He'll reward you, is what He's saying here. There's one that talks about 100-fold with persecutions. All right, John 12 is another one. You know, as far as I'm concerned, whatever you give up in this place, it can't even touch the hem of the garment of what's waiting for you because you did. God's kingdom. All right, Luke 12:24. "Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." And here Jesus is about to go to the cross. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." You were born and ordained for such a time as this, for such a time as God has called you from your mother's womb. So how can we say, you know, how can I say, "God, get me out of this"? Isn't that what He's saying? Now my soul is troubled. We want out when our soul's troubled, right? And what shall I say? "Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour." The Lord tells us, you're going to look back and say, "I'm so glad I stuck with it. I'm so glad I saw it through." Well, Jesus was a man. He felt the same thing. But He knew what He was going through was all God's plan for him. And because He decided, like, to fall into the ground like a kernel of wheat and die, it wasn't just going to be one Son of God. It's going to be many. He lost, but He gained. Jesus went with Father's plan and said His followers should also. Like the rich young ruler, he was so dependent on his riches that he could not switch over. Jesus was trying to give it an opportunity to have more than he could ever ask. But it's like I've been saying about the FMAM, God has a way. God is never holding out on anyone. But they got to get on His frequency. They have to plug in to God and His ways to receive. You can't keep on with the way the world is and the selfishness and the lusting and expect to receive kingdom benefits. It just isn't going to happen. And for you to do so, you will lose for a time. It's painful for a time till the payback comes, till the reward comes. You go, whoa, that was worth it. All right, Luke 6. Verse 27. Now, this goes beyond finances. This goes to character, godly character. I'm going to read it in the decode, but I heard Gene Decode say, if every person in the earth today for one day would love each other, forgive each other, we'd have evil eradicated from this earth. Because love never fails. God is love. Just how powerful that is. I thought, wow. All right, 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. In other words, you can hold somebody accountable for all the evil they've done towards you. There's one particular person that before they passed, the Lord had me remit their sins because they'd done me a lot of wrong. And this is what he's talking about here. We can hold things against people, and those people may never even know that, but we can hold those things in our hearts and not have the right attitude. We all have a list of people who have done us wrong if we choose to, pull it out. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Well, of course you want to be forgiven, right? For if you love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give. See, we always pull this scripture out of context for offering or whatever, but we don't see it in the context where it was put. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You're giving, or you're receiving from that giving. He's talking about these attitudes, blessing your enemies, forgiving those that have despitefully used you. Yeah, that's the hard stuff. That's the hard stuff. Jesus went with Father's plan, see? You know, Father, he does forgive. Even he gave Jesus before the foundation of the world in actuality. All the sins of every person. That's why it says he reigns on the evil and the good alike. This is kingdom attitude. This is the operation of the kingdom. Satan will try to sabotage you and steal your kingdom benefits. Yeah. We've had some of that the last year, over a year now, year and a half now, just thinking, What do? Forgive. Give thanks in every situation. For this is the will of God, not for the situation, but in the situation, for in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's go to the parable of the sower. We see all kinds of conditions in this one of getting away from that to cause us to get out of the love walk. The sower soweth the word, verse 14. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. He's after the word. He's trying to steal from you your benefits. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They get out of sorts with somebody, and Satan can steal the word. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. We're talking about riches, right? And the lust of other things entering in choke the word and becometh unfruitful. Isn't that what happened to Eve? The lust choked the word. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. All right, if you go with the flow, the way of the world, this could be the end result. We're going to read that. This is Luke chapter 12. See, it's a constant tightrope. It's like you're walking a tightrope to stay in love and to do right. You know what I'm saying? You're wobbling. Well, no, let's correct ourselves. We need our pole, you know, keep ourselves steady. All right, 12:13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, So, heck with everybody else, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. A lot of people, that's what they do. They, you know, work or for buying that extra lake home or whatever, and that's where they spend their weekends and doing their stuff. But God, not, you know, that's not wrong in itself, but, you know, just saying. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. No, our life is seed time and harvest. It's a constant sowing process. Yeah, a lot of Christians don't get this, you know. I mean, just look at the way they're mainly needy. You can tell by they're always asking for prayer. You know, always asking for something. Always a needing this and always a needing that. It's just constant. I just want to say, grow up. It's time to pray for yourself. Father tells you how to do that. It's just the way the church has trained us, unfortunately. Okay. It appears when you go the kingdom way that you lose, but it is only for a short time, and then comes the benefits of it. We're going to look at some more scriptures here. Matthew 16. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Did Jesus do that? He decided to submit to the Father for the greater good, right? And I don't mean that in a deep state way. Yeah. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? Yeah, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. You go the kingdom way, you're going to get some good benefits. If you don't, it's not looking good. All right, Luke 17:33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Like Jesus was saying, there's no greater thing than a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. He said, I don't call you servants anymore, I call you friends. He laid down his life for his friends. All right. It is not just about finances, but it's an attitude. This is Proverbs 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth the gifts shall have life. In other words, his mind isn't on things and just all this kind of stuff. All the time, just occupied with it all the time. God wants us occupied with his business, and then as we're doing his business, then all these benefits arrive. All right. Some work their whole life and retire and enjoy life with things. Nothing wrong with that. But what about God in this picture? I put here, be generous. Be generous. And that's not just in money. When people offend you, well, they probably had a bad day. Our Lord, just bless them. The devil brings things up all the time. He's got a running list, and he likes to sit in your ear, and when he does that to me, I'll say, but I've already forgiven them. That shuts him up. I've already forgiven them. Lord, lay not that sin to their charge. We need to get in the habit of that. All right, a few more scriptures. Ecclesiastes 11. You know, a generous person accepts people the way they are. You know? I was teaching the shoots this morning. The Lord had me kind of get in that area about, there was a scripture about, don't let anybody judge you in your holidays or what you do. You know, because all that has done, and the devil's done it, is to divide the church. Divide people. And that's why the church is so splintered and so many divisions. And why the gates of hell are prevailing against the church is because we can't just say, okay, you know, if you want to do that, fine. I'm not going to do that, but if you want to, that's fine. And just going on with it instead of getting all bent out of shape because somebody doctrinally doesn't believe like we do and you want to set them straight. Not good. Not good. All right, Ecclesiastes 11, Ecclesiastes. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south, toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. In other words, life goes on. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. Well, you know, better not do that. You know, I got this bill coming up. Or, you know, better not do that. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. This is how the kingdom of God operates, seed time and harvest. So the devil will bring every excuse for you not to sow. Because he knows your provision is coming out of the kingdom. He's here to sabotage. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. And I don't believe it's just finances here. I believe it means in love, generosity. Just think about anything good. Isaiah 55. Verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Is that how it was for Eve and Adam? They didn't have any concept of want or need or money or anything like that. See, the Heavenly Father, Matthew 6 says, considers the birds. He feeds the birds. How much more will he take care of you? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfy not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. I remember Jerry Savelle when he was starting out in ministry with Brother Copeland. He had, was it two pair of pants and one coat? Yeah. And here he was leaving a wife with two little babies, and he had $20 is all he had, and he gave it to his wife. No money, two pairs of pants and a coat. That's it. And what did she do? She went to church and put the $20 in the offering. You know what? She didn't lack. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. See, that's the problem. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before thee. wait a minute, I lost my place. Break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the kingdom of God in its way. It's a way of provision. Think about the widow's mite. Jesus observed the widow. He observed all the rich guys coming and throwing in their big offerings. But he saw that widow throw in those two pennies or whatever it was. He said, she's given more than any of you. Because she gave all she had. All right, one more scripture. This is Psalms 126:6. My prayer is, Lord, help us. We struggle. 126, verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It may be hard, but there'll be joy. You may appear as you've lost, but in essence, you've gained.